Well, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever it is. It's lovely to be here to worship with you today. It was really good when Reverend Freddie gave me the title Jesus the Vine, which works really well with Harvest Sunday. So I brought my vine with me. This took me many years to grow. So this is my special vine, okay? We'll learn more about it a little bit later. I know there's a family service. I can see one or two children up there, so lovely to have you with us. But today we're all children, okay? So we're thinking about Jesus the vine, and we're thinking about harvest and fruitfulness. So it's a funny title, isn't it? Jesus the vine. Where did it come from? In the Old Testament, the vine, you know this is a vine, a grapevine. You ever seen a grapevine before? You ever been to south of France? Ah, so lovely there. Many, many grapevines, many, many nice bottles of wine actually as well. This is a grapevine. And the grapevine was used as a way of God describing his people. And it became one of the greatest symbols of Israel in the Old Testament, their national symbols. And around the great door of the temple, and this was at the time of Jesus, there was this big like engraving of a vine going up and around the temple. And this vine was engraved, and it was gold, it had gold leaf on it. It was very, very precious. And it served to show God's people, to remind God's people that they are to be fruitful in the world. And there are many, many Old Testament references to this. For example, this one here, Psalm 80. This is talking about God's people, and God says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." A little bit like my pretend vine going out there. It went out into the world. And the picture here is that Israel should go out into the world, and it should spread roots out into the world, and it should be fruitful within the world. But then it didn't do, Israel didn't do as God had asked. So the prophets began to speak into the life of Israel. So Ezekiel here, it, meaning Israel, had been planted in good soil by abundant water so that it would produce branches, bear fruit, and become a splendid vine. So as I'm saying, the purpose of Israel was to produce fruit and go out into the world. Oh, did I go backwards? And this is how Israel were to live. But then they didn't. Isaiah said this. He had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He cleared it of stones. He planted within it the choicest of vines. And he says, "What more could I have done for my vineyard?" In other words, God has cared for his people. God has done everything that he could for his people. He's like the greatest gardener. He's like a great, what's called, vine dresser. He's done everything that he could for his vine. He's tended his crop so that the best could be done for it, that it might be fruitful and be abundant. But again, as I've said, they didn't live the way God wanted. So Jeremiah said, "I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn into a wild vine?" And then Isaiah said, "Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad." And the word there literally means stink fruit. Stinky fruit. Not durian fruit, that is very stinky. You probably like the taste of it. I don't. But not stinky, tasty fruit, but stinky, rotten fruit. Stinky, smelly fruit. You see, the people of God's lives had become sinful rather than holy. Their lives had become unproductive rather than fruitful. They had become like stinky, rotten fruit rather than fresh, tasty fruit. We as Christians and we as the church are to produce good fruit for God in our lives. That's our purpose, to be like tasty fruit. But very often, we're a bit more like rotten fruit. Sometimes, the way we live and the fruit that we produce in our lives is not as God intends it. Sometimes we produce bad fruit, and we call this sin. The wrong things that we do, the bad things that we think, the rotten attitudes that we have. And we need to be cleaned. And so the vine dresser, a good vine dresser, somebody who cares for a vine, carefully cleans the fruit. Because the fruit can sometimes hang onto the floor and get dirty, and it needs cleaning and caring for so it doesn't get diseased. It stops the grapes, the fruit, from going rotten. And it can be the same picture with us. We need to be kept clean if we're to produce healthy, good, tasty fruit. And God has given us a wonderful gift, you know. The gift of confession and repentance and forgiveness. It's what he's given us as a way of staying clean so that we might produce tasty fruit. It's the way that we grow stronger in our faith and we become more fruitful and produce good quality fruit in our lives. So, we're going to come to confession now, so we've got like an interactive talk. And, you know, sometimes we can be a bit like fruit. So I'd like a couple of children to come and help me, because I've got some fruit in my shopping. I've been shopping, and I think Peter's prepared some children beforehand that need to come down here quite quickly. And I would like you to come and see what I've been... shopping for my fruit. Quick, quick, quick. Hey, well done. Give them a round of applause. So what sort of fruit are we like? So who's going to go first? Come. All you've got to do is to take it out, show everybody. I'm not going to make you do anything. So you can choose in that bag. You can choose from that bag. Then you're going to take it out and take one thing out and show everybody. Okay, what is it?
Coconut.
It's a coconut. Yeah. Sometimes we can be like a coconut. Really hard. Sometimes our hearts can get really hard, like a coconut. So are we like coconuts with hard hearts? Do you want to pick one?
Okay.
Go on then. Oh, that's the last one. Pick another one. Come on. What is this? It's a dragon fruit. Sometimes we can be a bit dragon-like because we can breathe and burn with our words. We can burn people up with our anger and with our bad words, can't we? Like dragon-like, because dragons go, and they burn, don't they? So are we like dragon fruits? where we burn up people with our words. Sometimes we are, aren't we? I can see some nods. Are we like a dragon fruit? What else? Are we like a lemon? What's a lemon like? Sour and bitter. Sometimes we can go sour and bitter, can't we? And we can be a bit like lemons. We can hold grudges against people, hold things against people sometimes. Are we like a lemon? Do you want to see what's in there? Go and pull it out. Wow. Are we a bit like a pineapple? Pineapple's not very smooth, is it? It's all prickly and spiky. Sometimes we can be prickly and irritable and grumpy and complaining and spiky, can't we? Are you like a pineapple? Never. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Good. Are we like a pineapple? Is that going to balance? No. Or are we like?
Smooth. Grapes.
Grapes. Are we tasty and fruitful and sweet? What sort of fruits are we like? That's what we want to be like, isn't it? Are we always like that? No. An honest man. So to be like this, we have to learn to ask for forgiveness, to turn from our sin and to receive forgiveness. And then we get clean on the inside. And as we are clean on the inside, we can be more tasty and fruitful. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. You go back to your seats. So are we growing healthy fruit? So just take a moment. We're going to pray a prayer of confession. Just take a moment to have a think where there is something in your life that is causing you to become a bit rotten and stinky and not tasty. And that we need to be able to give to the Lord and ask for Him to cleanse us. So let's still our hearts, bow your heads. Just think in your mind where there is that you need to confess, what you need to confess to God. A wrong attitude, a wrong thought, a wrong action. Hardness of heart. Use of wrong words that we burn people with. Maybe we're getting sour and bitter. Or we're prickly and grumpy and critical. Peter, my screen isn't working. Peter, it's changing on the computer, but not on the screen. So let us pray a prayer of confession together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow men, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And so let's just be quiet and let's receive God's forgiveness as I pray for us. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So staying clean is so important for us to live fruitful Christian lives. Now I want to think about Jesus the vine. We're thinking about that. We're going to continue to think more about what Jesus meant when he said this. And now, you see, Jesus is taking up all of this idea of the Old Testament people of God being a vine, and he's bringing it into the New Testament. And he's preparing his disciples, because he's teaching them in what's called the upper room, and he's preparing them to go out into the world to be fruitful for him. They are to be the church. And he's saying this is how you are to live as the church. And that you are to go out into the world, and when you are to be fruitful, and you are to go to the ends of the earth. And for them to be able to do that, they needed to be attached to Jesus the vine. And this is what he's teaching here. And Jesus says, I am the true vine of God. And he means, I am the one in whom you find the true life of God. I have the life of God. And he uses this very simple picture to help us understand this. And he says this. He says, my father is the gardener, can be translated farmer or vine dresser, but the one who tends and cares for the crop. And he goes on, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be more fruitful. And this is one of those scriptures that is very, very encouraging and also very, very challenging. So Jesus says, my Father, so God the Father, is like a gardener. And it means that God cares for us and wants to tend our lives so that we will be fruitful. He is interested in our growth. Singapore is known as the Garden City, isn't it? Or the City Garden. It is a beautiful city. It is green. There is so many nice parks around. The government invests a lot of time and a lot of money in keeping Singapore such a beautiful garden city. That's a garden in England, where I'm from. We love gardening. My father was a great gardener. He loved his garden and he tended his garden. That's not his garden, but his garden was sort of like that. Beautiful, beautiful garden. But you see, our lives are not to be like beautiful gardens, flowery, but about fruitfulness. God is not looking for like what I call a flowery life, a life that, I keep clicking the wrong button. Christianity is not like having a life that brightens us up. It's not like having the outward like appearance of respectability. So on the outside we look bright, but inside we're not. It's not about going to church and looking good. It's about fruitfulness in our lives outside of church. That's what our Christian lives are all about. God is looking for fruitfulness from us. And our father, our gardener, acts like the vine dresser, the one who cares for us as a vine. And to do that, he has to prune us. I don't know, do you don't do a lot of gardening here in Singapore, do you? Have you ever seen, you got, hand up, who's got pruning shears at home? Hey, some of you. Good. So this is a pair of pruning shears. It what cuts off all the dead parts of a plant or a vine. It's what cuts off the bits that are unhealthy, the bits that are not growing. And this is what God wants to do within us. He wants to cut off the things that are not healthy within us. This is what pruning means, so that we might grow stronger and be more healthy and bear better fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. By their fruit you will recognize them. God is looking for fruitfulness from those who follow him. And so we're asked the question, do we want to be fruitful in our Christian lives? Do we want to be like juicy, tasty fruit? I think we do. And so we have to allow God to prune us, our Father to prune us. And what he does when he prunes us is he cuts back the branches, and as he cuts back the branches, this is how it really is in real life, then those branches then produce more and more fruit. So this is what a pruned vine looks like. It's like nearly all the branches are being cut off, but it's clearing everything away so that there might be a great crop of grapes and fruit. So everything that might stop the growing of fruit, everything that might distort the growth of fruit within us, God, the gardener, the vine dresser, wants to cut out. And so he takes like his pruning shears, and he prunes out our bad attitudes. And he wants to prune out, take out, cut out our bad behavior. He wants to cut out any bad relationships and unhealthy relationships that we have or that we're involved in. He wants to cut out any selfish agendas that we might have, anything that takes us away from following Jesus. Sometimes when you are caring for any plant, it sends out the what's called a wild shoot. It goes off in its own direction. And you know, we're really very good at doing that, going off in our own way instead of going off in God's way. And he wants to cut off when we go off on our own way. Do you understand the picture I'm trying to show us and that the scripture is teaching us? And sometimes pruning can be painful for us. But we always have to understand that God the Father, the perfect gardener, knows what is good for us, knows what is right for us. He always knows what is best for us. And you know, the harder sometimes we're pruned back, the more fragrant and the more fruitful we are in our Christian living. And this is why sometimes we go through tough times. And it's at the tough times and the hard times when the pruning is most effective. This is when we develop our fruitfulness. I know my own tough times in my own life has been the very times of growth. I've told before probably here, my eldest son, when he was age 15, he was run over and crushed by a bus. And it was a really, really tough time. I'm not saying God caused that. God didn't cause that. But through that was the time of most growth, through the hard times, through the tough times, the times when we're pruned and attitudes and thoughts are sorted out in our lives. I love a little quote. This is from N.T. Wright. He said this, "The vine dresser is never closer to the vine, taking care of its health and productivity, than when he has pruning shears in his hands. In other words, when we're going through the difficult times or God is having to deal with us because there are issues in our lives that are not right, He's actually caring for us the most because He loves us and He knows that we need to be free of these things. So our Father, the gardener, prunes us because He has a tender care for us. And then my final and main point is that fruitfulness requires abiding in Christ. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Abide in me, remain in me, live in me. There's different ways of translating that. But this abiding, this remaining, this living in Christ is the absolute essential part of us living and growing in our faith and in our fruitfulness. It's in the abiding that fruitfulness grows. And one thing is certain, we cannot force spiritual fruit to grow in our lives. Any more than I can make an apple grow on an apple tree, I cannot make the fruit of the Spirit grow in my own life. And any more than a mango can grow on a banana tree, or a durian fruit can grow on a mango tree. The only way a mango grows is on a mango tree, isn't it? The only way a grape grows is on a grapevine. The only way we can grow in Christ-like fruitfulness is being connected to Jesus, who is the vine. Exactly the same principle. When we're connected to Jesus, the vine, then His life flows into us and His fruit grows in us. It's a very simple picture. It's absolutely essential in our Christian living. As we live in Christ, as we abide in Christ, so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced within us. And I'm sure you know what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Shall we say this out loud together? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The only way we can grow in Christ is when we're connected to Him. And that's why I've got my vine here with us today. Because I'm going to want us to work this out and picture this together. Jesus wants us to be connected to the vine. We need to live in Him, abide in Him, and we do that by being connected to Him who is the vine. So now we're going to use our imaginations. Jamie, I need your help. Because this is a pretend vine. And we're going to take the vine. Wherever Jamie chooses to take it, it's going to go. You've got to help with this. We're going to take the vine all the way through. So if you're given it, just hold on to it. But don't hold it too tight, because you've got to let it go out through the congregation. Yeah, Peter, you can bring it through this one as well. Bring it through the middle. Go on, keep going. All the way through the congregation. You might need to move a little bit to be nearby. I'm going to explain what we're going to do in a minute. You don't have to be worried. How are we doing? We're getting there. Pull, pull, pull. all the way to the back. Here, come get. Thank you. Take it there. Is it up the back yet? Okay. Is it going to reach all the way through? So what we're imagining, and okay, you can leave it there. That's okay, thank you, perfect. And will it reach across there? So what we're imagining, this is Jesus the vine going out through us, the church, okay? And what does Jesus say? He is the vine and we are the branches. And we need to be attached to him. Now, the vine couldn't go to touch every single person. So what I would like you to do now is stand up, please. Please stand. And those of you that can, hold on to the vine. Those of you who are near to it, just get hold of the vine. And those who are nearby, hold each other's hands. So you are becoming the branches. Okay, stand up. Now hold hands, perfect. Hold hands across the pew, so you need to move. So move across and hold hands. I want to see everybody connected to the vine. And so this is a picture of Jesus' life flowing through the church. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and we are to be connected to him, to live in him, to abide in him. And when we're connected to the vine, what happens? His life flows into us. And as his life flows into us, we produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this needs to be our prayer, brothers and sisters. This is needs to be how we live our lives, connected to Jesus. This is how we need to live as the church, connected to Jesus the vine. And then his lifeblood flows into us and out of us. So let me pray for us as we're holding on to the vine. Lord, we pray that you would keep us connected to you. Lord, we pray that you would produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, I pray that each one here would grow in kingdom fruitfulness, from the youngest of children through to the more senior of us here. Lord, would your love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control grow in us, your people? And Lord, would we become like tasty fruit? And would the character of Jesus be formed within us? And just as we're praying, just ask the Lord to produce more fruit in your life. Just pray quietly in your heart. Lord, I want to know more of the fruit of the Spirit growing within me. Holy Spirit, would you come and work within us? Lord, I just want you to just pray for the person on your left and just ask that the life of Jesus might deepen in their lives. Just do that quietly in your hearts. Everybody here is able to pray, just to Just ask the Lord to do that. And then pray for that person on your right, that good fruit would grow in abundance. And just pray that those around you, the power of Jesus might fill them and the life of Jesus might flow out of them. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for this congregation, for the children that are here, for those that minister to the children. Lord, for those that serve, for those that have positions of ministry, Lord, I pray for Reverend Freddie and the team that lead. Lord, that the life of Jesus would flow through this congregation. Thank you, Lord. This congregation bear much fruit for you. Lord, thank you for the growth.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the lives that are being added. But Lord, we want to ask for more fruit within this congregation, more souls added to the life of this congregation. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, it can only be your work. Been praying for ourselves. I want you to use your imagination now, because imagine that this vine that is flowing through you, that goes out with you when you leave this service, because the vine of God is to go out into the world. That was the original purpose of Israel, and it remains the purpose of this church, to take the life of Jesus out into the world, that we might be fruitful in our workplace, in our school, wherever we are, in our homes, in our community. And so imagine when you go out today, you take the life of Jesus with you.
Amen.
And so Lord, I pray that this congregation would be a missionary congregation.
Amen.
A congregation that takes the life of Jesus out to others,
yes,
out to their homes, out to their communities. And Lord, that fruitfulness for your kingdom would be seen in and around Singapore. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful, fruitful servants.
Amen. Yes.
Now, people of God, receive God's blessing. I'm going to pronounce the blessing of God. Just encourage you, stretch forth your hand and just receive.